this morning on this first Sunday of a new year, this first Sunday of a new decade, this first Sunday of 2020. We're going to gather around the communion table toward the end of the service. But there are three words that I'd like you to keep in mind. You probably had the hint as we sang, God is great is thy faithfulness. But the three words I'd like us to keep in mind this morning is, God is faithful. God is faithful. Not only would I like us to think about that this morning and keep those three words in mind throughout the message and throughout the service, but I can tell you that it would be wonderful if every morning you got up, whether it's in your devotion time, just before it or just afterward, that you said out loud, God is faithful. There's something about hearing these words that come when they come out of our mouth, they go back into our ear, back into our very subconscious, and it does something to strengthen us and uplift us as we say together, God is faithful. These three words spell comfort, confidence, and courage. It's needed so much in this world, particularly in a world where there's so much faithfulness going on and faithlessness and fearfulness. There are a lot of people who are fearful this morning. They're fearful this morning because of the actions that have taken place in Iraq, in the Middle East. Who knows what this is going to lead to? We'll be talking a little bit more about it during the adult Bible class this morning. However, when we think about the fearlessness that's going on, not only in Israel, not only in Iraq, not only in Iran, but many parts of the world, this is a time when you and I need to remember that God is faithful. Before we read God's word, just a word of explanation. Paul is writing to the church, to the believers, in the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was a city, it was a pagan city, and it was in great chaos during this time. They had some things they misunderstood in terms of their faith and in terms of the order, the Christian order, things that ought to be done. And so Paul, in chapter after chapter, was writing to the believers in Corinth. And then at the end of this, despite all the chaos, despite all that was going on, he was able to say, God, through Christ, is faithful. God is faithful. These are the words that I want us to hold on to, not only today, but for the rest of this year. So let us turn to the Word of God as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1128, and otherwise you will see the words on the screen. So let us hear the Word of God. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, these are the two who were writing, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Incidentally, these words, grace and peace, you'll find these in all of Paul's letters. Greek word, grace, shalom, the Hebrew word. So he says, grace and peace to every believer. Let's carry on verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please hold on to the words. God is faithful. When we use the word faithful, what are we talking about? We're talking about this word faithful for us, for believers, is related to God's character, God's call, and God's communion. God's character, God's call, and God's communion. And each of these affect every believer throughout the world of all ages. Character is the description of the traits or qualities of a person or type. The word character is kind of interesting because it comes from the Greek, and in this word character, it means imprint or engraved. And so when we think about God's character, when we receive Christ into our life as our Savior and our Lord, His imprint is upon us. He is engraved upon us. His faithfulness is engraved upon you and me. It is part of our experience. It's an attitude and an activity that God has, and we find this in the word faithful. We find that His faithfulness is an attribute and an activity of God's character. When we observe that God is faithful, we understand and mean this. He is absolutely reliable. He is completely stable. He's firm. He's constant. He's steadfast. And here's a little contrast. He's not given to fickleness. World leaders are given to fickleness. You and I are given to fickleness. The little things that really don't matter. But this is not so with God's character. Scripture is replete with figures of speech that represent His divine stability and His steadfastness. King David wrote these words in Psalm 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the skies. Think about it. As far as David could see, not on land, not horizontally, but vertically, as far as he could see, up into the skies, up into the universe, he said, God's faithful continues right to the limit of the skies. Another psalmist wrote, Your faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the faithfulness of God from Adam and Eve down through all the generations right to where you and I are today. This tells us that humans can never outlive God's faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah, who also wrote the book Lamentations, he said this, The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And this morning we sang, Great is thy faithfulness. And these words were the composer, Thomas Chisholm, the lyricist. He wrote these words, Great is thy faithfulness, from this passage in Jeremiah. Let me read it again. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Not only is faithfulness an attribute of God's character, it is also an activity of God's character. We read these words in Deuteronomy. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. To 1,000 generations, that's a long period of time. Now, there are those among us today, we may be the first generation of Christians in our family. And so you have the God's faithfulness is going to carry on for many generations beyond you. But I suspect that most of us here today are not first-generation Christians. Rather, there were generations before us that were Christians. And as a result, God's faithfulness is poured on from them down to us where we are today. God's great faithfulness is there. God is faithful. I'm thinking of a young man who was aboard a ship, and the ship was in a great storm. And this young man went on the deck and looked up at the bridge or looked at the wheelhouse. And when he was looking up, a man came along and saw him standing there. And he says, Son, what are you doing in this storm? And he said, I'm looking up at the wheelhouse. My daddy is the captain, and he is at the wheel. And he's brought this ship through many, many storms. So his confidence was in his father, the ship's master. But you and I have a confidence, and that confidence is in the master of the wind and the waves, in Jesus himself. That's the one whom we are serving. It is his character that is poured out upon you and upon me. It's related to God's character, this faithfulness. It's also related to God's call. Perhaps you notice the words of Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 9. He said, God, who has called you. Now, he was writing to believers in Corinth. So we are extending these words to us today. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. We have been called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have been called. We have answered that call. We've accepted Jesus as our Savior. And so, therefore, all these attributes apply to us as well. Because of the attribute and activity of God's faithfulness, men and women are called to a quality of life which otherwise is impossible and unthinkable. This is a call to a quality of life for believers. This is what happens to believers. Unbelievers don't understand. Unbelievers don't understand why we come to church. Unbelievers don't understand why we sing praises unto Him. Unbelievers don't understand why we don't do certain things and why we do other things. They just don't understand. What we understand is we are doing it because of our love for Jesus, His love for us, and because His character is within us. We have in Jesus, I'm talking to believers, in Jesus, we have a life of provision, protection, and perfection. Or don't get hung up in the word perfection just yet. Wait till I get to it. Often on a communion Sunday, we repeat these words, and we will this morning as well. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is an absolutely remarkable statement, a remarkable truth. If we confess our sins, now there's a condition here. The condition is, if we do this, God will do that. So if we confess our sins, what is it He will do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nobody else other than believers can quote that verse with solid feeling and a solid foundation. Remarkable words. As we know, if we're completely honest with ourselves, we are sinners by birth, by choice, and by practice. When we think about it, we don't want it to be that way. We don't want to sin. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we do sin in thought, word, and deed. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be anything other than honest. Sometimes there are things that come to my mind that I cannot believe are there. And they come, and I believe you experience the same thing as well. It may not be something like murder, but it is something that's not good. And I wonder where on earth it comes from. But then I remember these words. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses or purifies us from all sin. It is the blood of Jesus that does it. I don't know how vivid your imagination can be, but when I think of Jesus hanging on the cross and His blood spilling down, His blood being spilled to cover your sin and mine, I often try to imagine His blood not just covering over my sin, but covering over me. And as a result of that, and all that I am in my sinful human life, that with His blood covering me, then when God looks down at me, He no longer sees me as a sinner, although I am. He sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He says, my Son paid the debt for that sinner. I no longer look upon Him as a sinner, but I look upon Him as my Son, as my child. This is a praise God item. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses or purifies us from all sin. That's God's provision for us. Praise be to God indeed. Hallelujah. We have a life of provision. We also have a life of protection in Christ. Now hear this a little bit further along in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes these words. No temptation has seized you, you and me, except what is common to mankind, to man, to men and women. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Tempted or testing, whatever it happens to be, God knows how much you will bear. He knows how much I can bear. Sometimes we wonder, oh dear God, can I bear this temptation? Can I bear this test? Can I bear this challenge that I have before me? Can I or can't I? God knows. He will not give us more than we can bear. And then the part of this verse that is really important is that He will always provide a way for our escape. You and I may be tempted to do this, that, or the other thing, whatever it is, thought, word, or deed. But God, because we belong to Him, will always provide a way of escape. Now, of course, you and I need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit's leading that we will take that way of escape, that we will not ignore that way of escape, but we will take it and we'll be obedient to him. In Christ, we have a life of provision, protection, and perfection. We read these words in 1 Thessalonians. It begins with, avoid every kind of evil. Now, I happen to prefer the King James rendition of that. And it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So it's sort of two-pronged in this. Both of these statements are true. Number one, abstain from all appearance of evil. And number two, avoid every kind of evil. Now, you and I need to do that. We need to consciously avoid and abstain from evil. Abstaining from all appearance of evil is so vitally important in terms of our testimony to others. There may be things that you and I do that may be perfectly all right in the sight of God, but someone else looking at us may look at us and see, look what that person is doing, therefore it's all right for me to do it, and if I do it, it's giving into a temptation that I ought not to be giving into. So you and I need to abstain from all appearance of evil. But God's word continues, and the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you and me. Never forget the fact that in one way or another, through his word, through a message, through a hymn, through a friend, through a parent, God has called you to put your trust in Jesus, his Son. He has called you. We have all been called. The question is, have we answered the call? Now, when Paul is talking about this, he's not talking about faultlessness, because we are not faultless. What he is talking about, though, is that we are blameless in the sight of God because of Jesus and what he has done for us. We in Christ, and only in Christ, have a quality of life which makes the world realize that we have both a standard and a secret which are supernatural and which most of the world does not understand. It calls for you and me to stand up and be counted. It calls for you and me to act like Jesus would act. It calls for you and me to remember what would Jesus do in this situation, and therefore that's what we need to do. What would Jesus do? This faithfulness we're talking about, faithfulness is a gift that God passes on to you and to me. It's related to God's character, it's related to God's call, and it's related to God's communion. Now, why do I use the word communion? Actually, it's a very good word to use on this day when we're gathered around the communion table. The scripture reads, in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, we've read it already, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The word fellowship can be translated as communion. When we have fellowship together, we have communion together. When we are brought together, we gather around the Lord's table, there's something really important about the Lord's table. It was the worship team sang marvelous words regarding our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we gather around the communion table. When we think about it, this is a unique experience. Jesus is present with you and with me as individuals. Jesus is present with us in a stronger way when we gather and worship him and when we come together on a Sunday morning. And I believe he's even more prominent when we gather around the communion table. There are people who believe that because they attend a communion service month after month after month, that they have experienced good health because of it. I don't know if that's a fact, but for them it is. Praise be to God. I think there's more that comes out of gathering together in a community, in a communion service, and gathering around the communion table than perhaps we would see superficially. We need to keep our minds and our hearts open. We know that God is faithful. God is faithful when we gather around the communion table. And there are three words. There's unity and purity and one other one, if I can find it, loyalty. Unity, purity, and loyalty. We've been called into fellowship with his Son. This assures us that we are also in fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. There's no higher concept of unity than God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And do you remember the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17? And he prayed that we would all be one. What a wonderful message that is, if we could all be one together in Christ Jesus. King David said, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." Brothers and sisters in the faith live together in unity. Paul writes, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." That's incumbent upon you and me. We are to make every effort not to stir things up, but to have unity of the Spirit in the peace that God gives to each of us. Purity. You and I, on our own, cannot possibly live a life of purity. But as we gather around the communion table this morning, we're reminded that our blessed Savior, Jesus, is totally, 100%, was and is pure in thought, in word, and deed. And the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us of this truth. Such a high priest, that is Jesus, meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved than that of Jesus Christ. No other name. And he is above everything in heaven and on earth. He's above the angels. He was the creator of the angels. He's above us. He's above all world leaders. Jesus is above us all. Jesus was pure for us. And with the Holy Spirit's help in your life and in mine, then we need to keep away, avoid any kind of evil, even the appearance of evil. We need God's help to do it. I read of a Christian painter, very famous painter, who said he would never look at an improper and inappropriate painting of someone else because he never wanted it to influence what he was going to paint. And that's a message for you and for me, to do our best with the Holy Spirit's help, to not get involved in things, looking at things that are impure or improper, rather so that it will not affect negatively our life. Unity, purity, and loyalty. Just as unity depends on purity, so purity depends on loyalty, which the Master is Lord in the midst of his people. When he is Lord in the midst of his people, then there is loyalty in worship, loyalty in service, loyalty in giving, loyalty in outreach. But there's always a cost. Sometimes the cost is great. Sometimes it's not so great. But there is a cost. It cost Abraham having to give up his son. But we know the end story. It cost Esther in the Old Testament the possibility of losing her life and the life of all Jews at that time. It cost Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they had to end up in the fire, but the Lord was with them. It cost Daniel. He had to spend a night in the lion's den, but the Lord was with him. In the New Testament, it cost Stephen his life. He was martyred. Other apostles, except for John, they were martyred as well. It cost them something to stand up for the cause of Christ. The cost for you and for me may not be as severe as it was for those, but there is a cost, and you and I need to stand up to it. Praise be to God that loyalty is not our attempt to be faithful, but rather God's attribute and activity at work in your life and mine. As we gather around the Lord's table in a few moments, remember these words. These are words of Paul, but inspired by God himself for Paul to write and for you and for me this morning. Hear the words found in Galatians. "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Never forget, as we gather around the Lord's table, that the Son of God loves you and loves me. Never forget that the Son of God gave up his life for you and for me. And that's what we remember around the Lord's table. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior and for being the Lord of our life. We pray that we will be open to your Holy Spirit's purification, to your Holy Spirit's constant companionship in our life, so that we will be gradually or dramatically molded into the image of Jesus. We pray on this first Sunday of this new year that we will remember, O Lord, that God is faithful. We have been called to him. We've answered his call. You will be faithful throughout our lives. And for this, O God, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Amen.